You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, there is no offseason for volunteering. We're asking the best fans in the NFL to make a difference by volunteering 10 hours in your local community. Take the Cleveland Browns First and 10 pledge today. Visit clevelandbrowns.com to learn more. The Carucci, Jim Donovan here.
Well, there was a great scene last week, and it was in connection with that.
Yeah.
When the rookies all went to that school.
Oh, yeah.
And that was
elementary
a great
school.
Yeah,
right here.
Grindstone Elementary, I believe.
Grindstone.
Yeah, yeah.
Put your nose to it.
That's right. But
I love the name.
Those rookies were received very well.
They really
those
were.
Kids got a big boot out of that.
Kids had a fun time. And the greater mission, the goal here is to get like 500,000 hours of volunteer time that the Browns are going to try to generate.
Yeah, they're just saying, hey, give 10 hours a year to your community.
And it sets a great example, like you said. And the guys, and as long as you've been around this team, Browns players have always gone in, roll up the sleeves and jump.
Yeah, absolutely. Habitat for Humanity, all of those things. Yeah. I remember being out there with them and on Tuesdays on their one day off and they'd be building a house.
All right, let's go 216-578-0850. We want to hear from you. It's an interactive show, and, of course, you tweet us at Browns_daily as well. John in Dallas has a question for us. Hello, John.
Hey, Vic. Hey, hey, Jim.
Hi.
Hey, quick question for you guys. It's always kind of puzzled me about these OTAs. You have unsigned rookies there. How does that work with the risk of injury and them actually playing? And they're not playing contact, but they can get hurt. How does that all work? I'll hang up and listen.
They can, John, and that's a great question. So the NFL did this a little while back, knowing the increased concerns that players and most of all their representation had about their involvement in these workouts. And as you said, there's no contact, but there is running.
Yes.
And you can be injured doing the silliest of things, if that's the right way to put it, or the most innocuous of things. So players have, and if they're unsigned, then they sign – these are waivers, not waivers. Let me take that back. They sign policies that protect them in the event of injury. So they are protected. The teams involved in this, the league actually, through the NFL, its agreement with the NFL Players Association, puts together these agreements that allow players to take part with the safety of knowing that an injury won't cost them money.
I remember, and this is not a great memory, and Vic is right, there is not contact, but, I mean, these guys are going up trying to make plays, and I remember the Browns, a very high draft choice under Butch Davis, Sean Jones, a safety from Georgia.
Yeah.
And he got hurt on the last day of mandatory minicamp in his rookie year, and he lost his entire rookie year. And he really got behind the eight ball then after that. I mean, he came back the next year. But, I mean, so, you know, these injuries can happen to anybody. But, yeah, certainly a kid that – I don't think Sean had signed his contract yet at that point.
No, and again, the league – it was – and I don't know why it took – well, it always, I guess, takes something to happen before people realize you got to protect people, and ultimately they figured this out. So – but it was, you know, and that's a great question that was asked here, is that because otherwise you'd have no mini camps. I mean, who's going to be out there? The main people you want to look at are these rookies.
Sure.
So to see a Terrence West running full bore and still not having a contract in hand, I mean, things can happen. But they are protected, and the team is protected as well. I mean, you're kind of protecting both ends of these things while protecting the players especially. Jim, the quarterback situation, though, it'll be interesting. You know, everyone's going to monitor how this depth chart lays out, right, in these next few days, right? Who's taking the starting reps or the vast majority of them? We've seen Johnny Manziel basically move into the second slot, and I use that term loosely. I'm also told, and I think Mike Pettine will reiterate this, nothing that represents a depth chart will emerge until this team plays its first preseason game at Detroit. But we're going to know, watching these practices, who effectively – are the first unit guys, second unit guys, and so on.
Right. Well, keep in mind now that, you know, Hoyer is still limited at the 11-on-11 type of thing. So then automatically these other guys are getting more reps at that, Manziel being the guy that gets the most reps at that. You know, Vicky, we are going to have such a definition in different styles.
Yeah.
And now how they fit, it's going to be, you know, the Johnny Manziel plays one way, Brian Hoyer plays a completely different way.
Absolutely.
Johnny Manziel plays on the run, on the edge of the pocket, maybe a little bit in the pocket, but certainly outside the pocket, to the wings on each side. Brian Hoyer's been taught, you know, the old NFL way, and that is, you know, he can live in the pocket. Now, you know, will Brian be able to move? That's one question. Will Manziel feel comfortable enough to stay a little bit longer in the pocket? Those will be the two definitions that I think you're going to have to watch early. But you have two completely different style quarterbacks, I think, coming in.
Oh, for sure. And I think the coaching staff, for its part, or Kyle Shanahan, whatever, specifically, they have put together in the scripting of the plays for these OTAs and even for the rookie minicamp, keeping Manziel working in the pocket.
Yeah.
But he rolls around. He does a lot of booting.
Yes.
He does a lot of movement. But like you said, on the wings of the pocket. But he does stay back there. And there is a clear definition of trying to make him more of a guy who is going to find his plays that way. He has to run or move to find his throwing lanes. But there are any number of plays where you've seen him straight drop back straight make throws that way.
Yeah.
And I think that is obviously what's being encouraged, because that was less of what he did as a college player. It's what he's got to add to his repertoire as a pro. There is no way he's going to succeed if it's all just about movement.
Now, that is the main thing, everybody, that rookie quarterbacks have the most difficult time doing, and that is accepting that the pocket is okay.
Yeah.
And that it might last a little bit longer than they give it credit for. It happened, and it's happened here a lot. It happened with Brady Quinn. It happened with Colt McCoy. It happens with Russell Wilson. It happens certainly with Kaepernick. You just have that tendency to want to get out, you know, a little bit quicker. And you just have to trust it a little bit longer. I think that's one of the most difficult things for a rookie quarterback. Now, Whedon was different because he truly was a pocket, stand up straight, look down the field, throw the ball. But all of these other guys that have a little bit of movement in their game have a lot of movement in their game when they first come into the NFL, to the point, as you said, you got to trust it and stay in there a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Better things will happen for you.
They're the non-traditional pocket guys.
True.
That's the right
that's
way
right.
to put it.
Yep.
You know, I would say this also about Johnny. He did not have a stellar week of practice this past week, from basically what was seen publicly and kind of what you could glean on your own, just watching, or I should say with us internally. But I will say that I'm concluding that I'm going to have lower expectations for his practices, at least in the early going, not just because he's a rookie, but because I don't think his style of quarterbacking lends itself to being a really good practice player. I think by and large, you've got to accept with him that he'll do when it's live and it's moving around, and his instincts kind of are mixed in with whatever it is that you're asking him to do, whatever the play call is. That's when you're going to see him excel.
Yes.
If you're asking him to, in a very structured setting, to make throws and follow the receiver down to the, you know, his break at 15, whatever it might be, all those things that are designed as a play, I think you're going to see him misfire on a lot of those occasions, because it's not his nature, not his way to work within structure. It hasn't been.
No.
And when he's done his best work, the work that he trusts, the work that he knows internally that he's the best at, it's the opposite of structure in practice.
Yeah, because that's how he really drafted, right? I mean, he is what he is.
Right.
And he is a little chaotic, and he thrives on chaos. And, you know, I think that he knocks a defense, you know, silly a little bit, where all of a sudden you give up a position and a spot, and you leave a spot, and then he makes you pay for that. And I think those are some of his greatest plays, I think, is when he's been able to do that. So it's just a marriage, I think, that you're going to have to do. It's going to be him accepting the fact that, really, honestly, this pocket's pretty good. Stay in there a little bit, another beat, maybe two beats, you know?
Yeah.
However, a little bit longer, and I bet you're going to find that maybe something good is going to happen. But, you know, at some point, he's going to want to go. There's no question, because that's what he is.
Yeah.
That's who he is.
Jim, he can blend. I think he can blend the best of, potentially, now. I'm not predicting this. I'm just saying he can, maybe, blend the best of what he is as an ad libber with a guy who works within structure. If I had to draw the perfect scenario for Johnny Manziel in the NFL with the Cleveland Browns and how this coaching staff is looking at it, it's that. It's take some of the newness of what you're doing here along with what you've done and blend those together, and then you've got something that's even better than what got you a Heisman Trophy, what got you all that success in college, what got you to be a first-round draft pick.
Right.
And I think that's really where this goes. But it's figuring out that chemistry, that balance of how these work together, that's the challenge. And I have no idea how they'll do that. I think it's a tough chore for the coaches. I think it's going to be tough for Johnny. I think his head will swim in the course of this, as it is.
Yeah, real quickly, Vic, because I know we have to go to break. And that is that defenses are going to change his decisions too. Because, you know, rolling out, they're going to run at him. You know, they're just going to target a guy and say, run right at him on that wide left or wide right.
And then make him put up the dangerous throw.
Make him put up a dangerous throw. And that's what he's going to learn. He's going to learn that on the fly. I remember Colt McCoy, first couple of weeks, very effective bootlegging out. And then team said, hey, guess what? We're going to take that away. Just shoot a guy at him.
Yeah, who can run faster than
faster than him, yeah.
All right, we've got Tom Withers from the Associated Press joining us next. He covers, of course, all of Cleveland sports, but knows this Browns team in and out. We'll get his insights and wisdom. We want to hear from you, 216-578-0850 as well. And tweet us at Browns_daily. All those barks and growls from the pound. Very welcome. He is Jim Donovan sitting in for Nathan Zagura today. I'm Vic Carucci. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, and we are driven by Liberty Ford. I'm going to show you tonight. Got the perfect scene set.